Thank y'all. Thank you. I wrote that video. It just yeah, helped me celebrate the production team for pulling that together. I told them what my talk was about, and I don't know how they did it, but that was pretty cool. Amen. It's good to be here today. Do me a favor. We don't always do this. We don't always converse with people around us, but do me a favor and talk to two or three people around you that maybe you don't know, and just reach out to them and shake their hand and just say, I'm glad you made it to church today. Just tell them that. Two or three people. And also say, you got my money? You got that $5 you owe me? I think we should be genuinely happy when people make it to church. Because they didn't have to make it. You never know what somebody went through to be here. For somebody, just their presence is a praise. Maybe they couldn't clap and sing along, but with all they've been through, just the fact that they walked in this building was a praise. Didn't know the car would start up. Had to drive here with three or four kids, drop them off in two or three sections by themselves, walk through a heated parking lot in Texas heat, and walked in here and sat down, don't mess with me. Because I got to pick them up after church and put them back in the car. The service can't be too long for them. And they're praying the whole service that their child's number won't come up on the screen. Hitting at a trip when your child's number come up and you try to act like you're leaving for another reason. Yeah, I just got to, you know that's your kid. You knew when you dropped him off they was going to put his number up there. You could tell by the way he was acting when he checked in that they was going to call your child out of there. Amen. Thank you, Pastor Eric. You're so kind, man. You make me feel like I should like maybe take this up for a living or something. And certainly celebrate the leadership of Pastor Conway, his wife Jada, and their leadership here at the church, and what great work they're doing. I'm just glad to be here. If you have a Bible, turn to Proverbs chapter 13. I've been saying this all day. I'm going to say it again. I'm cool with however y'all want to do this. However y'all want to do this, I'm going to get with it. I'm good with that. Y'all want to sit there and be quiet and let's have a conversation like we're in a library? I'm good with that. We can lower our voices and put our indoor voices on and have a conversation about biblical truth and share insights in the scriptures. We can do that. Or we can go Pentecostal in here. Whatever suits your boots. Since you're in Cowboy Nation, whatever fits, whatever rocks your boat, I'm good with it. I'm cool. But some things just hard to contain. Yeah, it's hard to contain. I refuse to praise a football team more than I praise God. I just refuse to do it. You don't catch me with my shirt off, painted red and white at a Texas Ranger game with my hands up, and I can't worship God. And I'm worshiping a person that ain't woke me up this morning, hadn't opened a door for me, hadn't made a way for me, didn't die on the cross for me, and I'm going to come in here and act like I'm not supposed to say nothing. I wonder where the people are in here that don't care what nobody thinks about you. I will pop up at any minute. I will stand up at you. I'm let you know right now. You're sitting around me. I might drop something on you. Just be careful right now because I ain't coming here to play no games. I've been through too much in my life to be worried about what you think about me. When I think about the goodness of Jesus and all he's done for me, I'm liable to run and bust a lap up in this joint today. Just wanted you to be aware. Wanted you to be aware. That's courtesy. I done gave you your warning. You wanna spectate. People getting in your way because you came to spectate. When you participate in worship, you don't care who stand up in front of you. I'll stand up too. You can sit in the whole sermon. I think you should stand up the whole sermon anyway since I got to stand up. Everybody just stand up the whole time. I'm in Proverbs chapter 13. Hope deferred, verse 12, makes the heart sick. But desire fulfilled is a tree of life. Hope deferred makes the heart sick, but the desire fulfilled is a tree of life. Let's pray. Father, give life to this time. Make preaching easy, make it fun, but make it supernaturally effective. I pray that you would do exceedingly and abundantly above all I have the reason to think and ask. And would you supernaturally help us in our lives? I pray that this word would be so fitting for us that it'll work in our lives this week and beyond, that we'll hold on to it through the storms of life, through everything we face, that this would strengthen our faith and bring us closer to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Hope deferred makes the heart sick, but desire fulfilled is a tree of life. My subject today is in the meantime. In 1959, a man named Sam Kahn wrote a song that is legendary called High Hopes. The song was written as a part of a film. It was nominated for a Grammy Award and won an Academy Award, the 32nd Academy Awards. And the writer of the song is not very popular, but the first person who performed it publicly was Frank Sinatra. Most people think that Frank Sinatra wrote and composed the song, but he actually just performed it publicly. He was the first person to perform it publicly. And so High Hopes is a song that's really a song about two creatures. The song is really about an ant and a ram. And it's about these two ambitious creatures, one an insect and one an animal, and both of them are trying to accomplish the impossible. It's really an amazing song. And it's really a song of encouragement because the ant is trying to move a rubber plant tree. And the song even says, how foolish of an ant to try to do that. What's wrong with this ant that it thinks it can move a rubber plant tree? And then, and sure enough, because the ant had high hopes, high apple pie in the sky hopes, the song goes on and says, well, oops, there goes another rubber tree plant. Oops, there goes another rubber tree plant. In other words, the ant just stayed with it. The ant turned its problem into hopes. Same with the ram in the song. The ram is trying to run up against a dam, a billion kilowatt dam, with his head and create a hole in it. And the song says, what is wrong with this ram? What is wrong with this ram? And sure enough, there it goes. He says, whoop, there, oops, there goes another billion kilowatt dam. And at the end of the song, it says, oop, there goes another problem kerplot. The whole idea of the song is to encourage the listener to turn your problems into hopes and never give up. To keep on plowing, to keep on believing. And it celebrates every success or every problem that's turned into a victory. I think as Christians, as believers, we can learn a lot just from that song. Because if there's one thing we all share in common, we may come from different backgrounds, we may come from different economic statuses, we may come from different educational backgrounds, we may come from different political persuasions and all of that stuff, but one thing we all have in common, we all have problems. There is nobody looking at me or listening to me right now that doesn't have problems. They may try to act like they don't have problems, but you deserve an Oscar for acting like you don't have it. But everybody in here got something in your life that ain't right. I'll guarantee you. There is something in your life that you wish were different. If you got kids, you got problems. All you got to do is have two of them. If you got one, you might have one that's cool. Have a second one. I guarantee you have a prayer life. You got more than one kid, one of them keep you praying. I'm going to tell you that right now. Most people that got two kids, you got one mild child, then you got a wild child. Just watch them. One of them that goes to school, does what they're supposed to do their homework, do their chores. The other one you just hope make it home at night. That's the one I'm talking about. That's the one to keep you praying. Everybody's got a problem. There's got something. It's either medical, it's financial, it's relational, it's mental. Everybody's got something in their life that's not the way they want it. And what we need to do is turn those mountains, turn those problems into hopes. And subconsciously, we do that. Whatever the thing is that bothers us, We're hoping that it would be different. Deep down inside, without even thinking of making that mental shift that it's a problem, but it's the fact that it's a problem, it's automatically hope. It's, in fact, it's a hope disguised as a problem. I'm hopeful. Hopes in our lives. Like I just said, we all have hope for our children. How many of you have children in here? Don't you have hopes for them? What do you hope? I hope they get saved. That's what I hope. Hope they really saved. They don't just pray the prayer. Hope they really saved. Hope they really following Christ. Hope that they come to church more often. Hope they don't just get saved, but hope they start living for Jesus. How about that? How about we try to actually start acting like you saved? Hope they make good decisions in their life. Hope they stay out of trouble. Hope they choose their friends right. Hope that God watches over them when I can't see them. Hope that when they go away to school, that God will set them up with the right roommate and in the right dormitory, and that they don't get caught up in some mess that I can't get them out of. Does anybody understand what I'm talking about, how we hope for our children? Hope they move out of this house one day. What is wrong with these people now? They stay into their 30s. You ain't trying to leave. The Bible says train up a child in the way they should go. You're supposed to be gone. Hope they get married one day and have their own families and have children. Hope they get married, then have children. We'd like that order. You know, you got to be specific about your hopes. Somebody here got financial hopes. Anybody got any financial hopes? You hope I pay these student loans off. Feel it strong up in that section right there. Heavy student loan spirit up in there. Them student loans be huge. You understand what I'm saying? Huge. Huge. Carrying you down. You can't even get a car in your own name. Just way down. Just way down. Anybody got hopes that one day I'll get out of debt? One day I'll be debt free. One day I can go in a place and buy a car with cash. Don't have to take my uncle with me to co-sign. I got financial hopes. Hope I can make some more money. Hope I can get a raise. Hope I can get an increase. See, Christians don't talk about that publicly. I'm willing to talk about it publicly. I'm trying to get a raise. You understand what I'm saying? You can sit there and act like you're comfortable being broke all your little life. I'm allergic to broke. I get stressed out when I'm broke. I don't like having lack. I've had lack. I've had a lot. I prefer a lot. I prefer having so much money I can give you some and not even have to wait for you to give it back to me. That's what I'm talking about. I want to have so much money I can tithe regularly. Yeah. Yeah, that too, buddy. Yeah. Yeah, pretty much. Them claps was weak as a mug. Well, we got financial hopes, got business hopes. Anybody got any career and business hopes? Want to go up in my career. Don't want to be limited by my race or my gender. Want to be able to excel. Want my business to explode. Want to get enough capital to start the business. Want to have enough clients to make payroll. Oh, I want to make so much in my business that I can quit my job because I don't like my job. I like my business. Who am I talking to in here? Is there anybody in here that got any hopes? Got health hopes. Want to do well medically. Tired of being sick. Want to get better. I want my cancer to go into remission and never come back. Want to be free from diabetes. Want my blood pressure to be normal without medication. Want to lose weight. Want to lose so much weight, I can give away clothes that's too big. Stop tired of giving away stuff that's too tight. I want to give some fat people some stuff. Here, you take this. You take this and look right on you. Who want to give some fat people some clothes? That's what I'm talking about. See, we ain't real in here. I want to give some fat people some. Want a medical breakthrough. I want to get healed so good that the doctors have to confirm it. It's gone. It ain't there no more. We don't even know what happened. All of our records and our tests indicate that you should be right here right now. But you're right here right now, and we can't even explain how. This is beyond medicine. You understand what I'm saying? I got hopes that God would do something. Got hopes for my mental health. Tired of living in the darkness of depression. Want to be free. Tired of having to take medicine day after day. Got to take medicine to go to sleep at night. Got to take medicine to be around people. Got to take pills to be around my mother-in-law. You're probably going to have to keep doing that, but this is going to be with it. I want to be free. Got relationship hopes. Single people got relationship hopes. Don't want to stay single. Want to get married. I want to dance with somebody. Want to be in the heat with somebody. Want somebody to love. I'm tired of going to weddings, trying to catch the bouquet and pushing people, trying to catch the garter. I want to catch a person. And not just any person. I want a person that believes in bathing regularly and got all their teeth in their mouth. You got to be specific. You got to be specific. Want a person that's saved. How about that? Ain't you trying to date a heathen? They try to act like they down with Jesus till y'all get real close. Then they say, I'm agnostic. Well, we done fornicated now. I got to come over here to real people over here. When I get real, I'm going to talk to y'all, all right? Don't you want to be in a relationship with somebody who believes what you believe? Somebody doesn't just say, I'm spiritual. No, I want somebody that's just not just spiritual. I want somebody that believes that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He's the way, the truth, and the life. Listen, because I ain't playing. All my money is on Jesus. I don't have a backup plan. I don't have a plan B. If Jesus is not who he said he is, I'm in trouble. Because all my money's on Jesus. I didn't put five on Buddha and five on Muhammad and five on Confucius and five on Hare Krishna. I boxed Jesus and I played him straight. All of my money is on Jesus. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I want somebody to walk with me and Jesus. Want somebody that I don't have to dumb down who I am to make them feel better about them. Don't you tired of being around people and you got to talk dumb so they won't feel dumb? You got to talk lower about your dreams so they don't feel overwhelmed. I want somebody who's synchronized with me where I'm going and can handle what I got. I don't know who I'm preaching to. I just holler at me if I'm talking to you. Somebody got marriage hopes. You're hopeful that the marriage will heal. That we can recover from all the pain that we've caused each other. That we can stop being so petty and tit for tatting and keeping score. And you hurt me and we can't get past it. God, we hope that our marriage will be a marriage where we can live and love and laugh again like we used to. Where we can go to concerts together. Where we can take trips together and walk hand in hand, walking barefoot in the sand, spitting watermelon seeds on a hot summer day. And hope we can have sex spontaneously in different parts of the house. That's my hope right there. No, confess that. Anywhere, anytime, right here, right now. Oh, the fellas, y'all need to say something to me. Don't shut up now. You ain't never said amen a day in your church, in your life. You should have said amen right then. Got hopes. Got hopes that we can connect with each other and cuddle, watch TV together. Sports Center. MMA. Wrestling. Nah, I mean property versions. Design on a dime. Flip it or flop it. You gotta watch all that too. Some lady in here is hopeful that her husband will look her in the eye and say, I got you. I got you. And some man is hoping he gets a text from his wife in the middle of the night with an emoji winking face saying, come upstairs and get me. I got you. Get me. Y'all ain't ready for me. This is the fake service, I can tell right now. As you really want to stand up and point at me and say, I feel you. But you can't, you got to be reserved. Some people got personal hopes. I hope I stop getting high. Feel it strong over there. Hope I can stop drinking. Hope I can stop living wrong. Hope I can stop doing the same sin over and over. Hope I can get out of this inappropriate relationship. Hope I can stop being addicted to porn. Third row. We all are hoping for something. That's why the first word in the text is something we can all relate to, because we all got hopes. But we also can relate to the rest of the text, because the text says hope deferred. It makes your heart sick. What a picture. When you want something and you're hopeful for it, it's a problem because it hadn't gotten here yet. But it's not just that the hope is on hold. While it's on hold, it makes your heart sick. Do you know what it is to have a sick heart? It's like having heart disease, literally, a sick heart. Anybody with heart disease has certain symptoms. One of the symptoms of heart disease is fatigue. You're just tired. Just like it is in the medical world with a heart sickness, in the spiritual world, when your heart is sick because your hope is deferred, you're just tired. Does anybody in here know what it's like to be tired? I'm not talking about physical exhaustion. I'm physically tired. It's Conway Edwards work you when you come to do a conference. I've been talking since I got here. I got off the plane, I was talking. I'm talking about emotional exhaustion. I'm talking about the kind of tired that going to sleep won't fix. I'm talking about sleeping, go to sleep at 6 p.m. and wake up at 10 a.m. the next day and you're still tired. I'm tired. I'm tired of dealing with this. I'm tired of carrying this weight. I'm tired of trying to do it by myself. I'm tired of being the only one committed to it. I'm tired of carrying this weight. Does anybody know what it's like to be tired? I'm tired of them not figuring out how to fix this. I'm tired of being in pain. When your heart is sick, I'm tired because my hope is on hold. It's made my heart sick, and I'm tired. But not only are you tired when you have heart disease, you also have chest pains. People with heart disease have chest pain, so every now and then your chest will just hurt. Well, emotional pain hurts. Loneliness hurts. Rejection hurts. Not being appreciated hurts. Not having enough in your life hurts. Finding out, and every now and then you'll have a heart attack. An emotional heart attack, because the thing you've been praying for, and it looked like it was getting better, it looked like it was changing, it looked like it was improving, then you saw his phone, and we're back here again. You're doing this again. You thought the child was getting better, you thought the child was getting better, and you went in their room, and you found something, and you said, we're back here again. Does anybody understand what I'm talking about? So I thought we were, when your heart is sick, you're not only tired and you're not only in pain, but you also, when you have heart disease, you have what are called heart palpitations, which makes your oxygen get cut short. So now you're short of breath. So now you used to could run up these steps. Now you just walk up them to give an announcement. And you say, hola, hola, hola. Hola, hola. First, giving honor to God. People come by your house, try to take you somewhere, and say, let's go have some fun. I say, it used to be like, let's go, let's go. Let's go shoot some ball, let's go. We're going to shoot some ball. Now, you look at your tennis shoes, and you remember your pain. And you say, nah. Y'all great. I'll meet y'all down there. You lying. You ain't going. I'll meet y'all there. You stop answering your phone. You let everything go to voicemail because you don't want to be the sourpuss in the group. You don't want to be the, cosmic killjoy. You don't want to bust anybody's bubble, because when you come around, you're carrying so much pain and disappointment because your heart is sick. You don't want to be around. So they call you and say, girl, we got them tickets. We got them Bruno Mars tickets, girl. I know you like Bruno. Third row. We in there. Lucky for you. That's what you like it. That's how you like it. What time you want us to pick you up? He's like, y'all go ahead. You want to go so bad, but y'all go ahead. I got a project I'm working. You lying. I got to finish this project. And you start making excuses. You don't go to the movies anymore. You're not having any fun. And I came to tell somebody, you don't wait until things get better to start enjoying your life. Even while they are the way they are, have some fun. Jesus said the thief came to steal, to kill, and destroy. That's his plan. That's his objective. Why didn't it happen, Lord? Because I came, good God, that you might have life and have it more abundantly. My plan overruled his plan. So don't let, I didn't just come to stop what the thief came to do, to steal, to kill, and destroy. I'm doing, that's enough right there to praise God for, that he stopped what the thief was trying to do. But he said, I came that you wouldn't just have a stoppage of what the thief is doing. I came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Look at somebody in their face and say, start having some fun. I'm sick of all these Christians don't have no fun. If I wasn't saved, some of y'all would make me go to hell. You're so saved, you don't even have fun. Everything, Jesus. You don't do nothing. You don't go bowling, you go Christian bowling. You're in a Christian league. You want to go skating? Is it Christian skate? Is they playing Christian music? Is they playing Hillsong? You want to go to the movies? Is it War Room? Is it the Passion of the Christ? Then I ain't going. You need to have some fun. Throw a cookout. Throw a party. Don't even have a, you work too hard trying to plan it. Well, we need this many forks, and we got to have this much ice, and we got to plan. Just throw the thing. Just call people and say, I'm building a grill today. Come on over if you want to. Just do something like that. Well, you there. What if we don't have enough plates? Call them back. Tell them bring some plates with them. By the way, when your family come, y'all eat up everything. Y'all bring some food with y'all too, because y'all eat a lot. I'm saying, loosen up. Just elbow somebody and say, loosen up. Every time I do that, I forget where I was. Hope deferred makes your heart sick. Makes your heart sick. You're tired. You're fatigued. Right here, the passage shifts. Right in the middle of the passage, hope deferred makes the heart sick. And then the writer says, but. Whew. There's some life on that word right there. If I ever get to come back, I'm just going to preach but. That's it. But. You know what? See, that's a shouting point right there. You know what but is? But is a contrasting conjunction. I'm going to take you to school right here. Help me, sister. I appreciate you. It's a contrasting conjunction. It is not an addendum conjunction. It doesn't say it's hope deferred makes the heart sick and. Because if it said and right there, it means we're going to add to this. It's going to get worse than the sick heart. It's going to be worse than hope deferred. When he put a but right there, but is a contrasting conjunction, which means whatever's coming next is the total opposite of what you just heard. Woo! That was your opportunity to give God a praise right there. You missed that right there. I said he put a but on it. He put a but in the middle of it. In other words, whatever's coming after the but must be totally opposite. So if in the A clause of the verse, you got hope that's deferred. In the A clause of the verse, you got a sick heart. That means when he says, but there will not be a sick heart and there will not be a hope on hold in the rest of the verse. What does the rest of the verse say? When desire comes, good God, it's like a tree of life. What God is about to do in your life at some point is going to come into your life so explosively that it's going to annihilate everything that hurts you while you were waiting on it to happen. The B part of the verse is so explosive. He says it comes in like a tree of life. It just explodes into the situation. So even though your heart was sick, everything that was wrong over here gets right after the butt. High five somebody and say, I feel a butt coming. Woo! Don't mess with me this service. Yeah! Yeah! He put something in the middle. Watch this, watch this, watch this. Ooh, good God. Somebody felt that. Because here is hope deferred. That's my desire. It's a tree of life. This is my reality. That's what I dreamed of. This is what I live with. This is how I feel. That's how I faith. This is the marriage I have. This is the family I have. That's why my heart is sick. That's what I dreamed of. So I said, God, okay, I got it. My heart is sick. I'm tired. I'm fatigued because my hope is deferred. And when the tree of life comes, I know what to do. Let me tell you about me. You don't have to ask me to praise God. If God ever does, let me put it this way. When God does for me what I've been waiting on him to do, I will turn this joint out. I don't care. I'll knock a camera over. I'll pay for it later. Because if God ever turns a situation around that I've been praying about, I don't know who's like me in here that has a hope that's real deep like that, that you know that only God can do it. But if he ever does it, good God, don't mess with me in here. I know you're real dignified, but I will get undignified on you in a minute. Because I don't care what you think about me if he ever does it. So I said, God, here's the message. What do I do in the meantime? Between a sick heart, between hope on hold and a desire fulfilled, what do I do? I say, God, what do I do with that comma? How do you live in the comma of life? What do you do in the middle? I know what to do when my ship comes in. I know how to act when the victory comes. And I know how I feel while I'm waiting on it. What do you do in between? God said, first of all, you need to understand, you're focused on the comma. I want you to know that there are two punctuations in the verse. There's not just a comma in the middle of the verse, but there's a period on the end of it. Ooh, if y'all ever get this, y'all gonna bust crazy. Understand this. He says, I put the comma where I wanted it, and I put the period where it's supposed to be. He says, if you notice, the comma is after a sick heart, and a period is after the tree of life. I would have got happy right then, but because I went to public school, I had to go look up comma and look up period. Because I didn't want to miss what he was teaching me. I looked up the word comma, and comma means a pause. It also means something is to be continued. It means this is not how it ends. So he says, I put a comma on your sick heart because your heart is not going to always be sick. I put a comma on your hope deferred because your hopes will not always be deferred. But don't just get happy about the comma, get happy about the period. Because a period means a complete stop. A period means final. A period means this is how I'm going to finish it. So I'm not going to finish it with a sick heart. I'm going to finish it with a desire that's been fulfilled. I wish I had some people in here that knew how to praise God before it even happened. God, I thank you for what my child will be. I thank you for what my marriage will be. I thank you for how my money will be. I thank you for how my health will be. I thank you for what's coming. Let me tell you what all of y'all are standing up and doing to the devil right now. You're confusing the devil. Because he's been beating you up so long with your hope deferred. He's had you down so long with your hope deferred. He's had you beat down so long, he's confused. The reason why he's confused is because you're up on your feet and you're clapping. But you're clapping and ain't nothing changed yet. But you're clapping. God. You're clapping because my God is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all I could ask or think. And I'm not going to wait until the battle is over. I'll give him glory right now. I got you. I got you. I got you. I got you. It's like a Dallas Cowboy game. If you ever go to a Dallas Cowboy game, before the game, the people are turned up. Like during the warm-ups. People are on their feet. They're clapping. Team ain't even scored yet. While the team is in the tunnel, about to come out the tunnel, when you start seeing those stars on the helmet, and they're coming out the tunnel, they ain't ran the ball yet. When Ezekiel comes out the tunnel, people are like, go get him, Zeke. That a boy. Dak comes out the tunnel. That's my man, Dak, right there. Dez comes out the tunnel. Dez, go get him. They ain't ready. They ain't got a first down yet. Ain't got a field goal. Ain't got a touchdown. They ain't tackled nobody yet. And meanwhile, the black people, when they coming out saying, hey, we them boys. We them boys. We them boys. Ain't nobody. The game ain't even started yet. Well, I'm trying to tell you, if you got the kind of faith that will clap for a team before they get a first down, I came to tell somebody, your God is in the tunnel. He's about to break out in your life. I dare you to praise him. Before you open the door, I'll praise you. Before you make a way, I'll praise you. Before you turn it around, I'll praise you. Because your record is good. Because you're that God. You're that God. He said, I didn't just put a period on it. I put a comma on your pain. Keith, what is a comma? I got you. A comma means this too shall pass. What is a comma? A comma means weeping may endure for a night. Comma, but joy comes in the morning. What is a comma? Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them out of every one of them. So here's what you got to do. When you're in bed at night, crying with a sick heart, I don't know how to make it and buy food and pay for daycare. Just lift up your hands and say, he put a comma on it. Here, let's practice it right now. Everybody do this like we. You know what that means? It's a comma on it. It's a comma on it. So I say, Becky, what's wrong with you? You seem happy. Did something change? Nah, I just realized it's a comma on it. If it was a period on it, I'd still be depressed. But since there's a comma on it, I know it ain't gonna end this way. So you can go by your child's bedroom, the one that keeps you praying all the time. I dare you to go by their bedroom when you get home and just without them even looking, just go by the room and say, whatever your struggle is, somebody you work with, you don't like them, they don't get along with you, go by their cubicle without them even looking. Just go by the cubicle and go like this. I'm cast down, but not in distress. Broken, but not destroyed. My God is going to do what he said he's going to do. Wait a minute, wait a minute. Keith, how do you know? How you know? How you know? How you know? How you know I ain't going to always have a sick heart? I didn't make it up. Look at the verse. He says, hope deferred. Do y'all know what deferred means? Or did you go to public school too? He did not say hope declined. He said hope deferred. That's hope with a pause. That's hope on hold. That's hope awaiting the timing of God. It shall come to pass. And by faith, I give him glory for what I see by faith. Even though I don't feel it right now, I praise him because I want to let the devil know, you ain't going to win in my life, because though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Well, I ain't going to do that. Let me talk to the other people. Sit down. So what I was trying to say today is, sometimes you just got to look to the bright side. Frank Sinatra said, when you're sad and when you're down and when your chin is to the ground, remember the ant who turned his problems into hopes. I'm going to close like this. Y'all been a good church. I'm proud of you. In the meantime, this is where I am. That's what I'm hoping for. In the meantime, turn your buffet-sized dream into bite-sized goals. This is your application. Trust me, this is a part of the message. It's very important. Turn your buffet-sized dream into bite-sized goals. Every dream that I have in my life that has my heart sick, my heart is sick and I'm sad because I haven't reached a dream. And my reality is in such conflict with the dream that it makes my heart sick. So I have 90-day goals in my life, because every calendar year has 90-day increments in it. Generally speaking, it's more like 88, 89. But I do 90-day goals, and you have to figure out, what can you do in the next 90 days? What can you do in the next 90 days to move you in the direction of your dream? What can you do? Faith without works. See, too many church people want to just pray for it. So if your goal is, your desire is to lose weight, you want to lose 70 pounds, 100 pounds, whatever it is, you can't just pray that. Like, I rebuke fat. I bind gluttony. You're going to get bigger. What are you going to do in the next 90 days to move in the direction of your dream? What are you going to do? You want to have a better marriage? You can't. See, Christians just want to wait. Say, do it for me, Jesus. Just do it. We just sit around. Just do it. I'm waiting on the Lord. What are you going to do in the next 90 days to move you in the direction of your dream? What are you going to do? You want to get out of debt? What are you going to do in the next 90 days? You're single. You want to get married. You don't even have any prospects. What are you going to do in the next 90 days to move you in the direction of your dreams? By the way, ooh, thank you, Lord. I got a minute and 42 seconds. Let me tell you this real quick. The Bible says, he who finds a wife, I probably said this in side chickology, so forgive me if I repeat it. I try not to do it. The Bible says, the man that finds a wife finds a good thing. Obtains favor from the Lord. Remember that? He finds a wife. Doesn't find a girl that he's going to marry or girlfriend. He finds a wife. So if you're a woman and you're single, you should be wife material when he meets you. How do you become wife material? Not talking to single women. You better find some married women who can tell you what wifedom is. That's a new word, wifedom. What are you going to do in the next 90 days? Most miracles in the Bible required human intervention. When Jesus fed 5,000 people, 5,000 men, not including women and children, they said, these people hungry. Jesus sent them home. He said, nah, you feed them. Well, how are we going to feed them? He said, what we got here? He scrambled. He went around the whole family. They found a boy's lunch. He reluctantly gave it up. We need this. The Lord have need of your lunch. You got to contribute to this miracle. But if you give me your little, it'll become much because it's in my hand. Then he told the disciples, sit the people down in groups of 50, and then I'm going to bless and break the food. You got to pass it out. because I don't do miracles without you. Lazarus, before Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth out of the grave, when he got to Lazarus' family, he said, show me where you laid him. Y'all got to work with me. Show me where you laid him. He knew where he was, but you're going to work in this. Show me where you laid him. Show me where you quit. Show me where you gave up. Then when they got there, he says, now roll away the tomb. They said, nah, Jesus, he's thinking by now. Because some things we don't want to open up because we work so hard to close it. When Jesus says, I want to heal it, but you got to open it up to me. Y'all ain't ready for that. Show me related. Open it up. Then when he called him out, he said, now take those grave clothes off of him because you got to partner with the miracle. The lady in 2 Kings chapter 4, whose husband was a man of God and left her in so much debt when he died that the creditors came to her house and took her sons as slaves. That's a terrible example of a man that leaves your family uncovered. I don't care what nobody say about the passage. Everybody want to focus on the passage and the miracle, but we don't want to focus on the irresponsibility of the man of God that left his family in that kind of shape. That they needed a miracle. The miracle is you're supposed to take care of your family. See, I say everything at the last service. Amen. I'm about to get on a plane anyway. I don't care. I'm just going to let it all out. I'm leaking. Man of God comes in her house in this situation. She needs a miracle. The man of God said, what you got in your house? You're going to have to participate in this. She said, I just got a job. Or give it here. We're going to need it. Now I want you to go with your sons to every neighbor and ask for some vessels. Then you got to humble yourself. You got to work. Then when you get the vessels, you got to start pouring. See, you don't get to get the miracle without doing nothing. And who knows, if you have bite-sized goals moving in the direction of your buffet dreams, in 90 days, maybe you'll get here. And then maybe another 90 or 180 days, maybe you'll get here. And maybe in 6 months, maybe you'll be here. And maybe another 180 days, you'll be here. We say, you know what? I didn't get to my desire. But you know what else? You ain't there either. Look at somebody, help me preach. Say, what are you going to do? I like it when y'all preach. What are you going to do? Last thing, whatever your dream is, continue to research and get consultation regarding how to get to it. There's always something else you can study, something else you can research. You've read 10 books, read another one. Get another angle. Go get another opinion. Go talk to another expert. We said nobody can figure it out. I'll tell you what to do. Go to an expert and don't even tell them what's wrong. Make them figure it out. You go in their office, you ain't tell, you ain't give them nothing, you ain't fill out no paperwork. They come in and say, how may I help you? You tell me what I need. You the expert. Figure it out. I'm finished. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your promise. Thank you that everything that's hurting us has a comma on it. This too shall pass. And we rejoice even now for what you're going to do. We thank you for the process, because the journey is as important as the destination. Thank you for this day in Jesus' name. Amen.